wonder when we get to heaven what we're going to do there that we don't or can't do here. You ever stop to think about that? Are we going to sing the same songs? We're going to worship. We'll even learn some new songs, I'll bet, when we get there. It's going to be wonderful. John chapter 14, our text tonight. These are so precious words. Buddy used them this morning before he sang his song, where Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." I, like millions of other Christians, expect to go to heaven when I die. I think that anyone in his right mind thinks likewise. Only a few of the extremists would prefer to go to hell, and of course, God's going to grant their request too. But seriously, I look forward to the time when I shall lay aside this robe of flesh and wing my way to heaven. I get excited over the prospects of reunion with old friends. Amen. And loved ones that I've known from long ago. I get excited about the prospect of seeing all of the people of the Bible that I've read about. And meet all of those great heroes of the faith who for the past 2,000 years have carried out the work of the Lord here on the earth. I get excited over the prospects of immortality. To think that there will be an energetic, healthy new body in that beautiful place where there be no pain, no heartaches, no suffering, no sorrow. It's a place where we'll never grow old. Somebody wrote a song about that. I look forward with great anticipation to seeing Jesus, whom mine eyes shall behold, and not another, like Job said. And I want to see all of those angels. And I want to see the seraphim and the cherubim. Somebody's going to have to point out the difference between them, because I really don't know. If a cherubim walked in right now into this building, I wouldn't know whether he was a cherubim or a seraphim or an angel, really. But up there, we'll learn the difference. And we'll get to see them. We'll see what they look like. The prospect of going to heaven is kind of like that proverbial carrot that's held out in front of the donkey that keeps us ever going forward, moving toward that inevitable goal. But make no mistake about it. Since 1940, when I was saved, I've enjoyed a lot of heaven on earth. Amen. Yep. It's been a wonderful journey. And I want to spend the next few minutes talking to you, showing you why our Christian life on earth is like heaven. A lot of similarities. Now, when we all get to heaven, we're going to be saved. Well, wait a minute. we'll never be any more saved than we are right now. Never will. Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. And the very moment that I trusted Him as my personal Savior, I entered into that great forgiveness. And ever since that time, I've been forgiven. Now, I might point out to you that there are indeed three aspects of salvation. I recognize that. Past, present, and future. I have been saved from the penalty of my sins. That's past. That's what we call justification. And at the present, I am being saved from the power of sin by the influence of the indwelling Holy Spirit that God gave me when I was saved. That's sanctification. But there's a third aspect of salvation that we have not as yet received, and that will be when we are saved from the very presence of sin, when the trumpet sounds and we go to be with Christ, that is glorification. We haven't been glorified yet. That's a new aspect of salvation that's still in the future for us. Now, I'm already enjoying the two. For there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So as far as salvation is concerned, I'm enjoying heaven now. Because I'm as saved right now as I will be in heaven. Now, when we get to heaven, we will see Jesus. But did you know we will never be any closer to God than we are right now? Think about it. Let me remind you of our John 14:20 relationship with Him. Jesus said, I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Now, when the service is over, you think about it between now and the amen portion of our message tonight, and you let me know when you leave if there is a closer relationship than that, that we can have with God. 1 Corinthians 12:27, we are members of His body. He's the head. Ephesians 5:30, we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Can you get any closer to God than that? Whether we're on earth or whether we're in heaven, that's about as close as you can get. Now, we tend to think that, only in the physical, we think about the worldly and we think about the fleshly realm. We forget that God is spirit and must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And our relationship with Him is a spiritual relationship. And there's old Philip that popped up here in John 14 and said, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. And he said that while he was standing in the very presence of Jesus. Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I and the Father are one. So when we get to heaven, we're not going to have any closer relationship with God than we have right now. So we're enjoying that aspect of heaven right here. Somebody will say, yes, but in heaven we will be in the eternal presence of the Lord. Because Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, and we're willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Present with the Lord? What about that statement that says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them? Is that not the presence of the Lord? Did Jesus not say to us in verse 18 of this chapter, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you? In Hebrews 13:5, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In Matthew 28, verse 20, he said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, can you truthfully say that since you've been a Christian, that there are or have been times when Jesus was not with you? If he wasn't with you, where was he? Where did he go when he left you? Do you really think he would break his promise? Come on now, your heart, in your heart of hearts, you know that's not true. We can have the presence of God here with us every day, 24/7. That's like heaven. And we can never experience the love of God any more than we can right now. God can't love us any more than he does at this very moment. He loves us with an everlasting, eternal love, a love that began before the world was created. And that love is as enduring as time and eternity. He demonstrated that love when he gave his only begotten Son on the cross of Calvary. He delivered him up for us all. Now, when we get to heaven, I hope that our capacity to appreciate that love will be greater than it is now. I don't know. I also hope that our response to his love will be greater than it is right now. That bothers me sometimes, people saying, oh, how I love Jesus. Well, I won't say it, it's not nice. I want you to hear again the passionate cry of our Savior's heart and apply it to yourself as he stood yonder on Mount Olivet and looked down upon that chosen city and cried, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. Forever in heaven, every time that we view the love scars on the body of Jesus, we will be constantly reminded of his sacrificial love for us. And he can't love us any more then than he does right now. In heaven, we can enjoy the fellowship of the people of God. What are we doing now? What do you call this? One of the fringe benefits of being a Christian is the privilege of gathering together with kindred spirits and associating with our brothers and sisters in Christ who, as Peter said, have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. In this world system, a lot of people don't like each other. Is that a fair statement to make? Boy, that blows your mind, doesn't it? In the Christian society, it must not be so. Just think. If you don't like somebody now, what makes you think that you're going to like them then? Explain to me what change you think is going to take place in death to make someone who is, that you despise right now, likable. What's going to happen to make that so? Is there some magic in dying that I haven't heard about that's going to change my attitude towards some Christian brother or sister and make me like someone then that I don't like now? My, how miserable you would be in heaven if you moved into your mansion and God put somebody right next door to you or across the street that you had to see and associate with every day that you just couldn't stand here on earth. Wouldn't that be terrible? I said, what's going to happen in death? It's going to make you change your attitude toward them. If you don't like them now, what makes you think you're going to like them then? I remember one time it was, well, they say confession is good for your soul. I'll make a little confession. Many years ago, he's dead now. I can talk about him in the past tense. There was a preacher brother that I didn't like. At one time, I heard that he had said something about me that I didn't like, and hey, I just mark him off. You know, I wouldn't have anything to do with him. I wouldn't cross the street to keep from speaking to him or anything like that, but I just didn't like him. Didn't want to be around him. He just turned me off. And that thing began to eat at me. And one day I decided to do something about it. I decided I would conquer that feeling of dislike that I had for that individual. And with God's help, I did. And let me tell you something. That'll be one of the first persons that I greet when I get to heaven. He became one of the closest friends that I've ever had. But if I let that enmity stay in my soul, it would never have happened. So, when you get to heaven, make sure you love thy neighbor as thyself, okay? I don't want you to be miserable in your mansion. We're going to enjoy fellowship with the people of God in heaven, and we can enjoy that fellowship right now. So that makes a little bit of heaven here on this earth, doesn't it? You can have peace today. Same peace will carry on into glory. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." And folks, you can only have peace with God when your heart is right with Him, when your sins are forgiven. There are many people in the world today with troubled hearts. They don't have peace with God. They need to come to the cross and accept the forgiveness that was purchased at the price of the Savior's blood. Be reconciled to God. Then, having made peace with God, they will find the peace of God that passes all understanding. Knowing Christ is heaven on earth. But there's one aspect that I must point out to you that's different. And I am afraid I would be derelict in my solemn duty if I didn't tell you one of the most wonderful facets of heaven that we will not see on this earth. And that's reunion with those who have gone before. Several years ago, the Wetzel family held a reunion down in Dallas. And man, we came from all over the country and met down there and had a wonderful time. But before and since that time, there have been several who have passed away. And if we had a reunion today, they would not all be there. The family circle would not be complete. Some of you, when we talk about reunion, will think about some dear brother or sister that you'll see again on that great day. Some of you will think about a dear sweet mother or a loving father that you'll meet again on the resurrection morning. And there may be some of you that will remember a tiny little baby that was plucked like a flower from your bosom before its season. And your heart beats a little faster when you anticipate reunion. I don't know what it's going to be like. God does not say. But mothers who have lost infant children, when they enter in through the portals of glory, and the angel comes and places that dear sweet baby once again in that mother's arms, that's heaven. I know that you've got some twisted theology there that, you know, there's not going to be any helpless infants in heaven, all such as that. Well, I don't know about that. I love little babies. I was off down here at our orange stand the other day, Brother Sam, and a lady in there at the cashier had a little baby boy in a basket over here, and he was laying there looking around, just as quiet as he could be, and he caught my attention. And I went over there and started talking to him, and he just broke out. It was like the sun coming out from behind the cloud. He just began to smile and everything like that. I love those little ones. Oh, maybe God will have babies in heaven. Reunion. And hey, I won't have to go all the way to Dallas and go out to the cemetery and stand there and cry as I look down at the gravestone, the marker at my mom and daddy's gravesite. Because on resurrection morning, I'll see them face to face. That's what reunion is, when I see my mom and daddy again. Of course, old Charles is going to be there too. He'll have a new body. Won't be eaten up with cancer like that one that he left here. I'll see my grandparents. A couple of them I didn't know. They exist only in memory. But would to God that every family circle would be complete on that day. But I'm afraid that many won't. Because a lot of the lost sheep are not in the fold yet. And there's still many that are wandering out in sin. We need to pray that the Good Shepherd will send out searchers, organize a lost sheep committee that will dedicate itself to the task of going out and searching for those that are lost until they be found. If you have a parent or brother or sister or some dear relative that's unsaved, I want you to think seriously about heaven and about reunion and about how that person will not be there if they're not saved. Because nobody gets through the gate except they're born again. Are you a Christian? Are you enjoying the bountiful blessings so freely given us in Christ? Are you feasting at His table, sharing in His benefits, participating in His work? He's got the best retirement plan of any employer I know. Are you living for Him so that you'll not be ashamed at His coming? I don't want you to have to make too many changes, like in the music that you enjoy. Got you there, didn't it? Yeah, the songs that you sing, places you go, your language. Gonna have to be careful. God will have you stand in a corner. You know, how many changes would you have to make when you go into the presence of the Lord? Oh, listen. Can you pray, "Thy will be done," and mean it? How beautiful heaven must be. But Christian, we can enjoy it right now. God is with us right now. As much as He will ever be. You say, "But I want to see God." Remember, Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." In your imagination, you see a great white throne, and you see God sitting on that throne in your imagination. Better enjoy it. That may be all you see. Don't depend too much on sight. Heaven's going to be a beautiful place. But remember, we Christians can enjoy it now. And this is part of it. Just being here, associated together in the body of Christ. Let's stand together, please. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Thank you for coming out tonight. Remember, this coming Wednesday evening, our Bible study in the third chapter of the book of Daniel. Read it and prepare for it when you come. Brother Bryant, will you dismiss our service in prayer, please?
Blessed Lord, we thank You for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard You from the Word, from this man stands in your place and I here in his place. And the scriptures that teach us of your love and your grace and your mercy. And that the home is prepared for us.
Amen.
We anticipate those wonderful things, Lord, and so thankful that we can have even your presence here in our midst, even in this place tonight.
Yes.
We have felt the Spirit of God strengthening us, encouraging us, calling us, teaching us, directing us to a more lively Christ, life in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, for giving
Amen.
Us, and saving us and keeping us. For we are kept by the power of God
Amen.
Unto the day that we shall enter in to your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. Dismiss us now with thy blessings. And thank you again for your great love and mercy and grace, your forgiveness. We have a sure assurance that we will one day be saved from your presence. And we can thank you for sure, even then as we do now. Bless us, Father, as we do in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Bless our visitors that are with us.